All right. I'm trying to change the way we look at prayer. Because it used to be, not that these things are bad, but we say the Lord's Prayer, and that's fine. And we pray with our friends at bedtime. That's a good friend right there. And we pray at Thanksgiving. We'll soon do that. Some families will bow their head and thank God for a great meal, and that's wonderful. But if they do it once a year, or some people, that's only once a day, or this is once every 2 hours. I want us to do an hour. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. God, you got to help us today. That's a quick prayer. I think the shortest prayer is help me. But when we say, God, you're good. I know you're good. Sometimes I don't understand what you do, but I need help. And there's a few people that need help. And God, I know you're going to be here with us. So thank you. See, that's that simple prayer we just run through. But let's change the way. I just pray occasionally. Pray all the time. So the next thing will remind you of this. And not only do we pray for special occasions, we might want to consider this, that I don't want prayer to be something you use occasionally like a tuxedo, but rather something you use all the time, like I told you that before. Like your favorite pair of bedroom slippers. I wore my bedroom slippers today as a good reminder. These are comfortable. I could put on high heel shoes, but you would laugh. And frankly, I don't need to be wearing high heel shoes anyway. But anyway, I want you to wear, somebody said, I want you to wear something you're comfortable in. And now, if I took you hiking, what would you most likely wear?
Hiking
boots. We were at camp in Tennessee. And a girl wore flip-flops. We went on a 5-mile hike. And she was surprisingly having blisters on my feet. I just pushed off the first cliff we came to. No, we ended up carrying her. Flip-flops for a hike. It's like, well, I want you to be comfortable, but you got to use, you know, Lanolgan up there for something. So here's what I want you to think of. Is prayer a, you remember this? Is prayer a blank to me or a blank? Well, to help you with that, think of this picture. His father, son, his name's Candido. You remember his son's name? It's an Italian name. He thought, I've got to help my son born with rheumatoid arthritis. I've got to help Paul, I believe is his name. That he could barely move. Matter of fact, he stayed in a wheelchair some of his life. But for some kind of relief, his company made immersible pumps, and you remember that now. And so he says, I got to develop something for my son because it's his last name is that. Bill gave it to you right there. His last name is Jacuzzi. Prayer is a luxury or a necessity. What was that pump for his boy? That was a luxury or necessity. Which one? A necessity. He was pain free as long as he was in that warm water. But yeah, people of Florida now make it a luxury. Oh, yeah, I just have a Jacuzzi because I just. I think sometimes people, unlike the Jacuzzi family there, they use this as a necessity. I want prayer to be a necessity. I want you to think, oh, forgot my car keys. That's the way someone would say, oh, forgot to pray. God, I just want to stop right here before. I've done that before. I'd be starting to eat. What? Or people probably think, hey, you're praising the middle of these meals. Well, I forgot to pray before I started eating. It's like a necessity. It's not, I'll pray. No, we got to pray all the time. Next thing. Is a good reminder to you is this too. Prayer is not a luxury. Well, it is, but I want it to be more of a necessity. Simple prayer for us to use is on that keychain. God, you're good. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I mean, we ought to be able just to memorize that. So, I was going to wait until this point right here to help us all use this simple prayer all during our day. I have a small, very small gift for you. It's now in your hands or in your pocket. Please use that this week. I mean, if another of us can send some life and bolts to heaven for Todd, could we heal him of cancer?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you say, well, does God answer prayer? God can do anything he wants to do. So, Max says God will either answer your prayer instantly, gradually, or ultimately. And I'd like to see him do it instantly, but I don't always get what I want. Gradually. I mean, he healed my mom. Ultimately, she didn't have diabetes anymore. She didn't have a hip that hurts. Daddy didn't have cancer anymore. And they're sitting there enjoying Jesus. So, isn't that sad? I wouldn't bring him back for nothing. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. But I'm going to pray as though he's going to heal instantly. If it's not happening, I'm going to keep praying gradually. We got to keep praying. Prayer is a powerful tool. No time in your life are you going to let Jesus get up and pray. Because you're talking to God. Intercessory for God. Think of this. Why is this string around my nose? Well, some of them say, I forgot what I was trying. What's the string for? The string was there to help us remember something. It's just to remember to do this. Please remember, it's like it's a prayer, it's just having a conversation. How can you forget? I forgot, but God, anyway, I forgot something, and you're doing what you forgot. It's just talking to God about everything that's on your heart or mind. So when you say, let's pray, and we instantly enter the presence of God, we don't have to get dressed up, we don't have to go anywhere, so we pray. Well, today is a reminder in our third part installment of the series Before Amen. First week, God, you're good. And we said, I need help. Well, today they need help. So check out the next thing here. As a reminder, they need help. Consider how these people prayed or went to extra trouble to help those around them that needed a touch from Jesus. We're going to read a story from Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, it goes like this. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. This is Mark chapter 2. So many gathered, let me start again, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Jesus coming home, just that thought alone is such a tender spot. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door. He preached the word to them. Some men came, for what reason? Bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. It took love and it took some effort to do this. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat, and the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking. This was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'?" What Jesus was really saying, I can do either one. You know that, don't you? I'm the only one who can forgive sins, and I can ask him to get up and walk right now. Tell him to. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." My point for you just a minute ago, and I'd be making this point whether Lorianne was here or not, if Todd has cancer, can we pray to get rid of the cancer? And you say, what if God's got other plans? I don't know, but I'm just going to pray that. Now, what if God's got a plan for a paralytic on a mat? It takes effort to pray. These guys are my prayer team. I would love to have a prayer team like that. Max says he has 120 people at his church praying for him all the time. That's a wise pastor. I love that. Because his church, he said, every time they just get on their knees and pray, they've doubled. They've got right now at his church in San Antonio, Texas, he said, we've got the highest number of people we've ever had. We've got more people joined, more people baptized. In other words, they're still reaching for peaks. This is Max Licato's church at Oak Hills in San Antonio. So I think, wow, Jesus has gotten some prayer people. I love this story. I'll tell you two or three things that I like about this story. And it just brings me to tears, so I'll get through those. Let me show you the people that are in the story. First of all, the paralyzed person. He couldn't help himself. He was helpless. And infirm. Spiritually, lots of folks are that way due to sin. We are so often paralyzed by our sin. Romans 7 tells you that we need help. We need help from someone who can heal us and do a work in us. Now, Romans chapter, if you want to go to Romans chapter 7, you don't have to. I can give you the few verses here. But Romans chapter 7, just a few pages over in your Bible, says, verse 15, "I do not understand what I do, but what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, that's what I do." Now, let me put this in my language. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I should do. You ever feel like Paul? I could write that verse. The things I don't want to do, yeah, I'm never going to lose my temper again. What? Why? And we lose it while someone's talking to us. And we think, God, I just messed up again. And whatever you do, if you say a cuss word, if you do something, you think, oh, it makes me feel bad. And we say, God, and before too long, you almost say, God, and I promise I'm never going to do that again. What's the devil do? I got to get him to fail one more time so he'll be defeated. So Paul writes, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I'm supposed to do, I don't. And he says this, oh, wretched man that I am. If you just keep reading, verse 16, I do not do what I want to do. I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. In the Gospels it says the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. For what I do is not good. I want to do no evil that I do not want to do. This is a keep on doing. So, what am I going to... Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, if you would read those few verses and say, what are we going to do with our sinful selves? Well, thanks be to God, He will forgive us. He'll cleanse us, and He'll give us a new spirit within us. Does that mean we're perfect? Oh, by no means. But at least we've got a hope. All of us have been this paralyzed man. All of us were lost. Lucas, you were the paralyzed man that day in Huff Lane, or at Round Hill. And I said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? You realize you were paralyzed with sin. I was too. I just used Lucas because he's fresh right here on the front row. But Lucas, once you became saved, you become in this next group. This is the group I want to be in. See, if we don't know Jesus, we're paralyzed with sin. Sin controls. But once we get saved, we ought to be in this next group. The friends that brought him. I love this group. Paul said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes the burdens are our friends' troubles and problems. But at times it seems like the burden is our friends themselves. It is our Christian duty to help. Okay, picture this. Let's call this guy. You can just pick a name for him. Let's call him Luke. If you like Luke, we can call him Zach. Can you imagine these four friends? Zach, we're here to help you. Go away! Curtains go back. Lay here in my pity all the time. I can't even get up. I'd go to church, but of course I can't go to the temple because since I'm paralyzed, they count that as being unclean. I'm unclean. I can't go to the temple if I want to. Next time. Zach, we're here to get you. Curtain. The light comes in. What is it? We're going to take you someplace today. Where are you going to take? You just think you need to get out of the house. Grab it. One on each side of the pallet. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Go. Where are y'all taking?
We're just going to take you someplace, Dash.
Tears run down your face. We're going to take you to Jesus. You think you'll like this? You think you will? What are y'all talking about? And they're talking to each other as they're going their way to Jesus. Two back. I don't like what. We're going to take you. And then they show up in the front yard. Well, I can't lift my head up. Where are we at? And the hope sort of sinks along with the heart. Look at the people there sitting in the windows in the front yard. They bring him to the house where Jesus is, and it's packed so much of. Exactly, we're going to take you to see Jesus, but it's so crowded we can't get in. It's okay. One more disappointment. And the front guy says, no, it's not a disappointment. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you leave until we see Jesus. Are you crazy? Look at the crowd. There's nobody on the roof, is there? What? Time on that pallet. What are y'all doing? Belt comes off, ties his feet, ties the middle part, ties the one in the right hand. I can't. Okay. Throw it around him. What are y'all going to do? Don't you worry. What are y'all going to do? It's not like we could hurt you. Come on. Prop the ladder up. We're going to put you on the roof of the house. You know why? We're going to take you through the roof. It's the only way to get to Jesus. Okay, let's do this. Yeah, we can. All of them together. They don't jump in. Yeah. Zach's just scared to death. What if you drop and break my neck? Then he'll heal up too. Let's do it. Prop up. Slide him on there. Tie a rope on the end. First leader gets up. Man, you're getting heavy. Pulling Zach and then scooting him. puts him all the way on the roof. All right, which one of us can dig through the thatch real quick? You mean the digger. Who's going to hold it?
Oh, we should have assigned somebody to hold that. Oh, man. My arm.
Okay, that's all right.
All right, let's try this again. Now, let's assign job. You hold Zach. Yeah, please.
You hold Zach. You dig the roof. And the first one that breaks through, you be the apologizer because people are going to be crazy. Who are the people to object to the member, by the way? Who's sitting on the front row? Pharisees. Why are they even there? It's like Stephen Curtis Chapman, my favorite Christian contemporary singer of all time. I just love the man. He can come stay at my house anytime he wants to. He's a good guy. He went through the death of his little 3-year-old daughter. He had a marriage, a graduation, and a death all in about the same couple months in his life. Before you tell me the man doesn't...
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert and somebody on the phone, I hate Stephen Curtis. Why are you here? Why are you here? So I get it. There was me knocking the guy out because, you be quiet. I'm taking that for Stephen Curtis. He's my friend. Well, that's what these guys are right here. They're troublemakers. They're taking up all the good seats. So Jesus is teaching that the critiques up front, the criticizers, with the people that love him right there. And he's in the midstream, mid-sentence. Somebody's straw starting to fall. Where's that straw coming from? Jesus smiles. He knows all. Now, what if it's this? Just pretend with me. And guys, I have the power to forgive, and I have the power to heal, and I can heal anybody. If someone is in here, for example, crippled and paralyzed, I could heal them. If someone would appear before me, I could just touch them, and they would be, you can't heal people that quick. Oh, yeah, I can, Mr. Critiquer. I can heal people, and they would be whole. Cue Zach. Roof through.
Sorry. We're here looking for Jesus.
You found me. You guys went to a lot of trouble. You almost loved Zach. Four heads in the hole at the same time.
We do. Oh.
My God, to tie him on.
We love him. We got to see you. Because we're hopeless. We've been praying this prayer that God, you're good, and I need help, and Zach needs help. You think you can help us?
Okay, rope on each pallet. Holes need to be bigger. All right, let's do it. They're lowering the Zach. Now, what are y'all doing? What eye level? Zach turns his head, and he's looking in the eyes of Jesus. What a neat place. Zach says, I sure could use hanging from you today. Jesus says, hang on a minute, Zach. Hang on. All you guys that don't believe in miracles, I can do one right here in front of you. Do it. First of all, bless you guys, you friends who love him, who have been praying for him, and who have brought him to me expecting something. Next group, I'm going to pray for this paralyzed man. And then how about this next group of these? You got the paralyzed, you got the friends that brought him. These two guys I love, these two groups. How about this third group? This third group. Maybe the Savior who received. Think now of Jesus. He speaks of the one thing that matters. He starts off with faith. You guys must have faith or you wouldn't have brought him here. He must have faith or you wouldn't have let him. He didn't want to come, but he sort of wants to. Yeah, he's desperate. Who's the only one in the room that lacks faith?
The
Pharisees. The religious leaders are the one that lacks faith. Of all the problems that beset, the spiritual ones are the most important and should be taken care of. Jesus forgives and heals. So he's got to make sure he's saved first. He says, I forgive you all your sins. since he forgave me of his sins, he says, now we can work on the physical. Now, I don't want you to miss this, and I'm not going to downplay a problem that we all have. I'm not going to downplay, but whether it's Jim or whether it's Doris or whether, and I'm sure Doris's daughters could tell you that, Doris knows Jesus. And you see, that's the first thing that Jesus would ask. Well, you got to heal my ankle. In a polite kind of way, I don't care about your ankle. I care about your what? Your soul. We'll take care of your ankle. I asked Todd standing out there one day in the parking lot. I said, Todd, I've been praying for you. I'll make sure. See, I was trying to be like Jesus. I said, Todd, you got Jesus in your heart? He said, I asked Jesus in my heart when I was a little boy. Because you got to make sure you have Jesus. Because he can if he wants to, but praying for you physically, that's mild to making sure your heart, your soul, is right with Jesus. So that makes it easier, so I think. Because you have Jesus in your heart. He said, I asked him in my heart when I was a little boy. I said, good. Because God's going to use you, and I don't know how he's going to use you, but we can pray about the cancer, but I'm just going to pray that he uses you. Does that make sense? Because we have defeated the purpose. It's like, I've taken care of it. If I heal you and let you walk away from me and you still don't know me as Savior, if I'm Jesus, can you still be in hell, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah. Many people, he said, it's better to enter heaven without an arm or a leg than to enter hell wholly clothed and bodied and everything else. That's what the Bible tells. It's better to enter. He was making an extreme case, not that we should do that, but in Matthew it says if your eye offends you, what?
Pluck it out.
Pluck it out, because it's better to enter heaven without an eye than to enter hell with both eyes. Wow. They're going to take care of the spiritual. Jesus says, I forgive you of your sins. I bet your tears are just running down Zach's face, dripping on that. And the Pharisees are like, of course they got bent out of shape. What did they ask? Who are you to do what? Forgive sins. Only God can do that. You're right. I'm God. They didn't understand it and didn't want to understand it. He says, here's my next thing. I want to make sure I get this right before I move into the next. Let's check and see what he did. Go back to Mark chapter 2. I just got to read these verses. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Second gospel, second chapter. Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, since they couldn't get in to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above it. After digging out, lowered the mat, the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. It took work to get him there. It took effort. It took love. It took perseverance. It took lots of things. What kind of friends do you have? Would they lower you through a roof? Would they come pound on your door every day and saying, see, I want to be those kind of friends. See, y'all need to invite people to life one every week. Invite the people that you work with. Well, they'll laugh at me. I don't care. Lower them through a roof next week. Bring them into this place. Lower them through a roof. I've even heard this said, an old member, oh, if I went to your church, the what? The roof would fall in. So we'll put it back. Come on. When the roof fell in, it would leak so much in here. That's what I told somebody at school. I said, why don't you come on to our church right now because the roof's already leaking. There won't be any more damage. And they said, nah, I'll go to church one day, someday. Haven't found that one day yet. You got to get them in. Take a roof off, you have to. Now, some teachers of law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why is this fellow talking? You can't forgive sins. Jesus is just trying to make a point. He says, well, I could have just said be healed. That'd have been fine, but I wanted to let you guys know, make sure that you know that God Almighty can forgive sins and only God. So he said, get up, take your mat, and walk. They lowered this mat all the way to the ground. He got up. Now, you're going to miss it if you don't catch this. This last group. There are some people outside that house, and I don't know if I'd ever really saw this before. I want you to make sure you see it today. There are people packed in the front yard of this house. There are people looking through. What's he doing now? There's a man. Come here. On the shoulders, going like it. There he is. There's a man coming down the roof. They went through the roof, play by play, in the front yard. Mm. And here comes a man, that's that old paralytic guy. We've seen that town. He crawls if he can, but nobody... Who would have brought him up there? I guess four people that loved him. And, oh, no. Guy told him on the shoulder, what do you see now? He's walking. You must be looking at him wrong. Because he's paralyzed. Tell that to him, because here he comes. Comes a guy through the crowd. Hey, y'all know him. You were paralyzed. Wait a minute, guys, my four friends, let me help you with that ladder. Doing pretty good today. Finally, think of the crowds who come to hear and see Jesus. Can't even hardly look through it in the crowd. Here comes this man who's paralyzed walking through that crowd. Most of them didn't get close enough to do probably either one of the things of hearing him or even seeing. This would be like you go to the overflow crowd at the Civic Center and you can't even see the stage and the person on the stage gets off. I was down in Tennessee at, they got a big high school there. There's two high schools right together. They got Virginia High School, black and orange, they're the Bobcats. Right across them, they got Tennessee High School, they're the Vikings. They're green and gold. Sort of sounds like north side up here. But anyway, so the Vikings on this side, state side, and Virginia High School on that side. Stephen Curtis did a concert in the Vikings Center. That's how big your high school is. He was on the stage singing. Put his guitar down, the band kept going. He was singing. He jumped off. Now, they got a track that you can run a little bit at the top. It's about 4 feet wide. Then they got the basketball floor down here. He jumped off the stage, started running on the track, coming around. I told Jenny, I said, you know what I got to do? You can't go down. I don't know you. It's okay. I went all the way down on her seat, stood right through here. When he came down, give me a pile of sand. Love you, man. Love you, too. Jumps back up on the stage. I know Stephen Kirchner. Well, he didn't really give me a high five. He slapped me in the face and said, no. Get back in your seat. No, I was down there just giving him five. Because people were doing it on that side. I said, yeah. This man's giving high fives to the crowd. Guess who's coming behind him? The master. Oh, I saw you. Saw you on the mat. Saw you fly off the ladder too. What's your name? I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus Ray. Thank you. You changed my life today. Jesus comes down to the common people. They would have to see the commotion on the roof from the street. They could probably see the man lowered. They could definitely see him walk out. And they rejoiced through Jesus. The grace of God was shown like never before among them. I'm just wondering, which group you're in today? Are you paralyzed and need Jesus? Did you bring somebody here? Maybe the amazed crowds, or you say, God's going to do a work. Jesus receives sinners such as us. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. A reminder for us today is that first of all, if you're paralyzed with sin, you need Jesus. Second of all, keep inviting people. You got to get them out. Just say, Lord, send us people. Not to make our church big, so that we can make the kingdom big. I don't care. If you come here and get saved, it's not your first baptized once you say it. Invite people. And then never get into that group of the Pharisees. They just want to keep the law, but they didn't know Jesus. Maybe we're just in the crowd right now. We're just amazed at what God does sometimes. I just love that story. Now, I like that story so much, I want us to, we use that today. Don't worry, I'll start with Max next week. Max got about an 18-minute message to back this up. But the fact that it is, I want to spend this, our last few minutes, doing what the series is about. And what's that?
Pray.
Pray. Just praying. I'm just thinking. There's got to be at least one line, one something that's buzzing through your mind, like, you know, pray for this prayer today. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes, lock out the world just for a minute, and I'm going to ask you this. If you're here today with your head bowed, eyes closed, and just thinking,
if you're the paralyzed person and saying, I, if it wasn't for friends, I wouldn't be able to even get to church. I'm thankful for friends. And in this story, the paralyzed man had to have his sins forgiven. If you're here today and don't know Jesus, maybe that's you. If that's you, you can pray a simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. Would you forgive me of all my sins? Come into my heart and save me. And it's something that simple. And he will do that. And maybe there's even someone that says, it's just been a long time since I've talked to him. Would he even have me back? Oh, yes. He's like the dad looking down the gate waiting for his son to come back, the prodigal son. So it's been a while since you've prayed. You too can come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I've been away too long. It's time to come home. And then maybe you're sitting there thinking of others, which is great. If you've got a prayer, thought, or request going through your mind, would you just lift your arm? I'd lift your hand up. If you got something going through your mind, if you say, pray for me, because I don't know what it is God does. Anything? Thank you. You've got your hands going up. Others? Thank you. Anybody else? There's the Holy Spirit that works on your heart. Other prayer requests? Jesus, you are moving among us. And that always humbles me that you show up and you stir up our hearts. Lord, these hands have went up because they got prayer requests. They got something near and dear to their heart. Jesus, you still are in the business of healing and helping and even holding us. And we just can't get it words out. We're like a little kid that says, oh, Daddy. And we just want to come sit in your lap. But Jesus, so we begin with that. Oh, Daddy. Our Father, which is really an intimate Abba word, which means, oh, Daddy. So, Jesus, here we are. God the Father, here we are before you. I pray for these hands that went up. They got a prayer request on their heart. Jesus, just like you healed the man that was on the pallet, brought through the roof, these guys are bringing a prayer request to you. So would you do your work among them? I pray, Jesus, that you would work on our hearts and draw us closer to you. Someone here may meet you as their Savior today. Speak to their heart. Someone may just need to rededicate themselves to you. Jesus, it's just wonderful to me that someone here today has a care for others. They might not have that one for you. You've put that love in their heart to care and have compassion for others. Jesus, we're here. We're your people. We wait on you. So may we picture you sitting beside God the Father, at the right hand of the throne of God, being very attentive to us, hanging on our every word. Jesus, I lift these prayer requests up to you, the hands that were raised. And Lord, there's probably others with an unspoken prayer request that may not have raised their hand if something's troubling them. God, you want us to have peace in this world. So Jesus, please give us peace and our joy. Lord, give us our trust. Help us to trust you fully in whatever we're going through. And Lord, we thank you for hearing our words, hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Read this, Corrie Ten Boom, I think, had a quote. She said, when your train that you're riding goes through a dark tunnel and you can't see, you don't get up and jump off the train, do you? You don't get up and fuss at the conductor. You don't tear your ticket up. What you do, you hang on tight, trust the conductor to take you through the dark tunnel. Some people might be going through a dark tunnel. Hang on. The God that saved you is still the God that leads you. Don't give up on him. I just don't understand. It's a good thing he does, isn't it? When I was a little kid like that, my daddy drove a car pretty well. I didn't know how to drive a car. I just trusted my father. Why can't we just do that as a little kid? God, I don't know what you're doing. Good. Now be still. Get in the back seat. You're in the back seat today, Ryan. Trust God the Father to run things. Change my heart. I'm going to close with this little song. You can just... listen to me sing it or sing it with me. If you can stand, you can do that. If you want to, you can just pray. I'll close with this song.
may need God to change your heart.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God.
Change your hearts today, and as we leave this place, I pray that we not be the same person as we walked in. Lord, every day a little bit closer. Help us just to picture that, a little bit closer walk with you, and so that things that used to be between us aren't anymore. Jesus, God, you're good. I love that prayer that you've taught us. God, you're good. I need help today. We talked about they need help. Others around us need it. So we lift them up in prayer, and we thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.